the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From May 3, 1873, she had more than 5,000 ecstasies, sometimes one a day, but other days more than one, during her long life of 91 years. The most exciting thing was when the miraculous communion also took place during the crucifixion. She also had the gift of levitation. As Mrs. Gregoire stated, Julie rose about a foot above the bed. Her body was not resting on anything. During the ecstasies, Julie was immobile and nobody could move her. When the confessor or chaplain gave her the order to come out of the ecstasy, she immediately obeyed, although that was a painful effort. It is important to note that during her ecstasies, Julie had the gift of hierognosis, or knowledge of sacred things. She could clearly distinguish the consecrated host from the one that was not consecrated, and the holy water from ordinary water, and the same for other blessed things. On one occasion, there was an exchange of hearts. Jesus took out her heart and put his in place of Julie's. Another day, Jesus promised Julie, "From one communion to another, I will keep myself in your heart." This meant that her soul would be a tabernacle where the Eucharistic Jesus would be permanently present as in the tabernacles of churches. Father David says, "I and her mother noticed on May 18, 1874, that blood was coming from her lips. She was drinking it, smiled, and opened her eyes, saying, 'Oh, my dear husband, thank you for quenching my thirst.' A moment later, a thick drop of red blood appeared on her lower lip. She brought the relic of the true cross to her mouth. An hour later, the same scene happened. She had her arms crossed while blood suddenly appeared. She was hugging the relic of the true cross, and this relic was full of blood. When she came out of the ecstasy, she declared that she had drunk the blood of Jesus seven times because she had a cup in her hand and she was filling it with the blood of his heart." On May 27, 1880, Father Lecue appeared and witnessed a bloody manifestation of the sores. Julie stated, "The crucifix at the foot of the bed bleeds. The priest saw it. Julie asked the priest to drink from that blood. Then she asked for the bleeding crucifix and kissed it and drank its blood. Next, she begged the priest to cleanse her lips and the crucifix with a cloth. One afternoon, she understood a priest who was speaking to her in Latin without having studied it. She had remained immobile, not making any movement except Friday during the experience of the crucifixion. This immobility lasted 2 years until the beginning of 1883. On September 23, 1884, she was blind. She only saw a light. In 1885, she recovered her sight. For 5 years, 1 month, and 22 days, she had kept an absolute fast from December 28, 1875 to February 20, 1881. One Friday, while living the Passion after the second fall of Jesus on the way to Calvary, she asked to be consoled with the bread of angels. She made the sign of the cross, recited the Confiteor, and then, "Lord, I am not worthy." Miss Brulé declared, "We were attentive. I was about 50 centimeters from Julie's face, and I saw her two hands clasped on her chest. Suddenly, she opened her mouth and stuck out her tongue. There was nothing. She closed her mouth and opened it again and showed her tongue, but there was nothing. Again, she closed her mouth and opened it again. A wonder! A host brighter than snow was there, visible to our eyes. A cry of admiration came from our hearts. She closed her mouth and opened it twice more and showed us the host on her tongue. There was no possibility of illusion or imagination. Then she opened her mouth and there was nothing left. She had a smile of paradise and her ecstasy increased her peace. It was heaven and that lasted about 15 minutes. Those present were happy and prayed and adored the Eucharistic Jesus in union with Julie." She, in ecstasy, spoke of the wonders she saw at Mass. "I admire the heaven that descends to the holy altar when the priest celebrates Mass. When the Sacred Heart descends from heaven to the altar, the priest takes proportions of love so high and so great and powerful that it looks like a flame of fire. If the priest were seen, transformed into glory and beauty, the people could not address him without fear and without trembling." In an ecstasy, she had the vision of the masses. She says, "The priests went up to the altar with more or less respect. I attended all the celebrations. The angels prostrated themselves, full of respect. many, many angels filled the altars and poured perfumes. Above the altar, the angels were in a circle. To the right and left of the priest were the seraphim who served him. When it was time for the creed, the angels sang and offered the faith of the people to the Lord. It was a triumph of the glory of God. Our Lord was present everywhere at once, handing out blessings. At the moment of elevation, all the priests glowed. At the elevation of the host, I saw the child Jesus with extraordinary beauty. He had his little hands extended over his heart, which was open, and around him was a great white flame. All of heaven sang Hosanna. A multitude of angels surrounded the child Jesus. At the Lord's Prayer, the child Jesus had his arms outstretched and was distributing immense graces. At the moment of the priest's communion, all of heaven sent flames of fire to the priest's chest. He was like a true heaven. At the moment of the Lamb of God, our Lord seemed like a torrent of flames. At the moment of the communion of the faithful, our Lord clothed himself with such ardent love that it seemed that he was going to die of love. Groups of angels surrounded the altar, and when the priest opened the tabernacle, they poured perfumes and sang sublime songs. When the priest took out the ciborium and raised the host, his hands were surrounded by flames. His words were picked up by the seraphim, and the holy host was transformed into the child Jesus. The angels carried flags, and while the communion was distributed, the angels wept with emotion. I have seen the child Jesus smile upon entering hearts, but that smile was not the same in all. In worthy hearts, it was like a sun, filled with brilliant light. As the priest returned to the altar, after giving communion, all the angels gave thanks for the souls that had received Jesus. At the moment of the final blessing, our Lord was with the priest, wonderful, and I came back to myself, full of all the treasures of love that I had contemplated. In an ecstasy, Jesus granted her the grace to attend all the masses that were celebrated on earth. Julie watched in ecstasy the guardian angels who presented the souls of those they guarded to Jesus. Marie Julie says, I have two guardian angels. One takes care of me and never leaves me. He is my little angel. He is blonde with curly hair. He has a small crown of white roses. He wears a short white dress with a blue belt on which are written the names of Jesus and Mary. On his neck, he wears a gold cross suspended by a cord, where there are precious pearls representing the hearts of the friends of the cross. On that cross are written the names of all my faithful friends. I make him open that cross from time to time, and he makes me read the names of my friends. He has wings, and they are so pure that I ask him to take me under his wings to Jesus. He has a clock to count the minutes that my other great angel leaves me, who sometimes is absent. Sometimes he embraces me on the forehead and talks to me about heaven, about the love of Jesus, and about the visits of Mary and Saint Joseph to the death of my faithful friends. My angel has bare feet. Sometimes I propose to touch his foot. It is warm, and with it I could warm my frozen hand. When it's cold, he brings me a cloak, especially at carnival time, when Jesus is most offended. I understood that it is never cold in heaven, and they live in an atmosphere of warmth and love. I also have another big angel. He wears a large basket around his neck, tied with a gold rope, and he is getting graces. Then he goes to the hearts of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph with the basket of flowers, which are graces. His clothes are white and long. He has a wreath of white roses. His belt is all white, but without the names of Jesus and Mary. He also has bare feet. He has a gold belt over his heart. He spreads his great wings and goes with his basket and his supply of graces at times to distribute them. Upon returning, he tells me that he has been everywhere and tells me the graces and prayers that he has distributed. I call my great angel Mister because he seems older and bigger than my guardian angel, whom I call you, because he seems to be about 12 years old. I do not rebuke my great angel, but when he returns from a trip, I ask him where he has been. And he replies, I have been next to a father who is going to write a letter. I have gone to such and such a friend who prayed for you, or I have visited a person who was sad and I have consoled them. Every day the child Jesus comes to be close to my heart. The child Jesus is smaller than my guardian angel. One day Jesus told me that if I wanted a third angel, he could give it to me, but I told him that I had enough with two. He clarified, it would be to give you the communion that you desire so much more frequently. He will give it to you twice a week, and I will give it to you on Sundays and holidays. When I do a spiritual communion, my little angel is always on his knees with both hands together in front of his mouth, and he makes the sign of the cross. When I pray, he enters contemplation and asks for graces and blessings for me. One day, in the ecstasy of May 14, 1912, the Virgin Mary told her, "I always receive your Hail Marys through your good angels, my celestial helpers, who attend all the festivals in heaven." When Julie prayed the rosary, she heard that the angels responded to her, and she also heard them sing. In the ecstasy of May 22, 1917, Jesus said to her, "When there are no victim souls on earth, I will send the angels to replace them and bring the divine bread of the Eucharist. In the great tribulation, when material bread is scarce, divine bread will multiply and will do wonders for the elect." In the ecstasy of January 11, 1923, Our Lady told her, "You are not alone. Jesus is with you in the tabernacles. The angels are there, who light the lamps of faith, hope, and charity." In the ecstasy of October 16, 1923, Mary continues to say, "My children, if you saw the guardian angels bring me the Hail Marys of the Rosary, all of heaven is astonished. Hail Marys are white pearls and our fathers are diamonds. I go to purgatory and bring these graces to abandoned souls." In the ecstasy of January 20th, 1927, the guardian angels say, "We are your guides and protectors. We bow over you, faithful souls, and we see a multitude of guardian angels weep beside us, whose souls have abandoned them and never pray. The angels who cry say to the privileged, 'How happy you are. We are abandoned and we are never thought of, and we are insulted with the Creator. How happy you are to be summoned.'" In the ecstasy of May 27, 1930, the Virgin Mary says, "My children, the guardian angels have as their primary role adoring and giving thanks." Jesus said, "Do not forget to give thanks to the angels. They come to seek for you graces and blessings from your benefactors, friends, patron saints. The holy angels thank me for the graces received." In the ecstasy of February 8, 1934, Julie tells us, "I was amazed seeing a fervent soul enter heaven. I have seen her guardian angel taking her by a ray of light to heaven. I have seen the welcome given to her by her parents and family and friends." In the ecstasy of July 20th, 1922, she says, "The angels of heaven say, 'We have never tasted the ineffable joys of the Eucharist. Happy are you.' The holy angels charge me to tell you that every time you receive the divine spouse, they are on their knees before your souls. They adore him, praise him, and pray to him. How beautiful it is to see the angels in adoration as you receive Jesus." In the ecstasy of January 8, 1935, the Virgin Mary says, "Do not forget that your guardian angel guides and protects you. He is close to you every day, and he is close to you at night. He counts your sighs. He is near and takes care of you. He covers you with his golden wings and protects you. Do not forget it." One day, during an ecstasy, Our Lady said, "I recommend that you pray a lot to the holy archangels and the guardian angels so they protect you from the demons. You cannot imagine the great number of lost souls." She saw them sing the Te Deum with the Virgin Mary and assist the Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.